religion is not from God. In fact, God hates religion. Why? Because religion takes you further and further away from God while leading you to believe you're actually getting closer to Him. The more religious you are, the less likely it is that you will be with God and fulfill the meaning of life. And we're going to start talking about that in this week's episode of the Faith by Reason podcast. Welcome to the podcast. The website behind it all, as always, is faithbyreason.net. Please go there and check it out. Tons of great information, as well as the Faith by Reason blog and the Faith by Reason podcast. So, obviously, based on the rather controversial statement I just made to begin this podcast, we will be talking about religion. In fact, we're going to spend the next two or three podcasts talking about religion. In this first podcast, I'm going to talk about the philosophy behind religion and the thought process of religion and why it is not godly, even though it masquerades as being godly. In the next podcast, I'm going to talk about the different types of religion. And you may be surprised to learn that being religious may not necessarily have anything to do with believing in a god or gods. Religion is a man-made, pride-based set of actions. So that means you can be religious whether you believe in a supernatural god or gods or not. Atheists, agnostics, they're all religious too. In fact, we all, no matter what your belief system is, we all fall victims to religion in some way or another. And we'll talk about that in the next podcast. And then we will also follow it up by talking about the effects of religion and why it's such a horrible, deadly thought process that will virtually guarantee that you will spend eternity away from God. So again, controversial, and we're just going to dive into it. Well, now, as a little bit of background, we are still in the series post the look at the first dispensation, the dispensation of innocence, where we talked about Eden and Adam and Eve and all of that. And we are exploring some of the concepts and terms that we went over as part of that Eden narrative. And one of them was justification. We talked about justification in the last podcast and how when Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit, God gave them the opportunity to either justify themselves or justify God. And that's because when we do something wrong, again, from the last podcast, our subconscious causes us to feel guilt, which drives us towards a certain justification. It drives us to seek justification, preferably the justification of God, where we justify God, or we could choose to justify ourselves. Well, Adam and Eve chose to justify themselves, and they chose a form of justification of man called religion, which is the worst aspect of justification of man. And when God saw that they chose religion, then he just decided to judge them and end the dispensation because, again, religion is something that God hates and that takes you further away from God. So let's talk about what religion is. Let's define religion. In the most basic sense, and I talked about this in the very first podcast that I did with Faith by Reason, and also on the About Me page, which is ironically one of the most controversial pages in the blog. But religion is anything that you do, any actions that you take on your own to get closer to what you consider to be divine, whether it be a god or gods, or whether it just be a good life or being a better person. These are the acts that you do to make yourself right and just. They are things that you do to make yourself like God. Now, the problem with that is that there is nothing we can do on our own to be like God, because we cannot be always and completely right and just. We talked about this a few podcasts back when we were talking about how to think like God and the meaning of life. Religion is futility because, again, it's our way of trying to be like God on our own. And that is prideful. It's comparative thinking. And it's why God hates it, because it's us trying to be like him without him. And we can't do it. Now, the reason I said my About Me page is the most controversial is because when I say I'm not religious, which I trumpet all the time because I don't like religion. I hate religion. I think religion is extraordinarily destructive, and I'm not religious. However, since people have the wrong definition of religion, they accuse me of being delusional. They will tell me, of course you're religious. You're a Christian. You trumpet Christianity. So obviously you're religious. How can you say you're not? Well, the problem is that I already defined what religion is, and it's not from God. It's not Christianity. Christianity has nothing to do with religion. Jesus hated religion. The only people Jesus ever had a problem with when he was on earth were religious people. So it has nothing to do with being like God. But we have, the wrong definition of religion, which is really one of the most deceptive and unfortunate parts about religion, is that we have associated religion with God. Not only Christians, but non-believers have associated religion with God. And it's very detrimental. And we'll talk about that in a couple podcasts, why it's so detrimental and why it actually leads non-believers away from God. So let's just ask the question, why do people do religion? Why are people religious? Well, they actually have a good motivation. When people are religious, they're doing it because they think it will get them to heaven. Well, think about it. If you were to ask someone, how do you get to heaven? What will they tell you? Well, they'll basically tell you some derivative depending on their particular religious take, whether they are Christian or Muslim or Hindu or whatever. They will basically say that in order to get closer to God, you have to be good. I mean, we all know that, right? If you want to go to heaven, you be good. If you're good people go to heaven, bad people go to hell, right? Well, if you are a true Christian, a non-religious Christian, then you know that that's not true. Good people do not go to heaven. People who are in relationship or in fellowship, rather, with God go to heaven. And there are lots of people who are really, really nice but don't believe in God, and they're not going to heaven. On the other hand, there are some Christians I know who are pretty ornery people who I don't always get along with, who aren't always the nicest people, but they are in relationship with God. So they're in fellowship with God, so they will be in heaven. Because getting there does not depend on how good you are on your own anyway. Your goodness should be a reflection of God working through you. But being good on your own, being nice, being charitable, doing great things for people, that will not get you to heaven. Nothing wrong with that. In fact, there's everything right with that. There's doing good works is fine. Being charitable, giving to the poor, helping people out when they're in need, just being generally a good, decent person. That's great. And it makes for a better society. If more people would do that, our society would be much better. However, that cannot get you to heaven, because you don't get to heaven by being good. You get to heaven by being in fellowship with God, by being always and completely right and just, and using God's provision to receive, to be able to be always and completely right and just, or more accurately using salvation, to be deemed or granted the idea of being always and completely right and just through the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, which we will obviously talk about down the road a bit. But just being a good person doesn't get you into heaven. Now, in the blog post where I talk about religion, I just briefly talk about some of the ways some of the quote unquote major religions tell you can get to heaven, or whatever their idea of heaven is. Like in Islam, at the end of your life, if your good works outweigh your bad works, then apparently you get to heaven. Or if you blow yourself up while killing a bunch of infidels, you also get there, where you get to have sex with 70 virgins. I don't know how appealing that will be to women, but yeah, apparently that's what you do in Islam. In Hinduism, you get karma by doing good things. So you just keep building up your karma. So when you die, you're reincarnated, you come back as a better position in life. Or if you have bad karma, if you don't do good stuff, then you come back as a cow or a roach or something. I don't know. That's how they do it. And then in Buddhism, they don't really have an idea of an afterlife that's any kind of active, joyous thing. They want to reach this state of nirvana, which is basically just nothingness. So I don't even know why you want to bother being a Buddhist. But hey, if that's your thing, that's your thing. It's a free country, more or less. But focusing specifically on religions that are tied or are tied themselves to Christianity, let's look at the thought process and philosophy behind how you go from being a Christian, which has, again, nothing to do with religion, to actually being religious. So you realize, you're not a good person. We all know that deep down. We do bad things. And when we do, our subconscious makes us feel guilty and we need to feel justified. But we do it all the time. We do bad things all the time. We sin constantly. So what do you do about that? Well, of course, if you are a Christian, what you're supposed to do is understand the provision that God made for you, again, through salvation, through the Christ's death on the cross, through forgiveness. That takes contrastive thinking, because you have to accept the fact that we can't be good on our own and that we have to rely on the finished work of Christ on the cross. There's nothing we can do. All we can do is accept this gift. And that takes contrastive thinking, because in order to accept the gift, you have to, one, confess that you're a sinner. None of us likes to do that. We all like to think we're good people, but you have to confess you're a sinner, and you have to repent of your sins, and you have to turn your life over to Jesus. That is kind of salvation in a nutshell. And again, that all takes contrastive thinking, because it makes us uncomfortable admitting that we're sinners, admitting that we can do nothing about it, and giving our life over to someone else, because we like living our lives for ourselves. We like being in control of our own life. But if you're a Christian, you are in a state of constantly giving your life over to someone else, that someone else, of course, being Christ. And again, that requires a constant humility, which we don't like. So what happens with religion? Well, let's look at, again, back at the first religious idea that we talked about a few podcasts ago, when Eve had that her religious idea, when God gave her a contrastive instruction through Adam, do not eat the forbidden fruit. And Eve said, well, you know, that sounds fine, I suppose. I can just not eat it. But what if I make it better? What if I say, not only will I not eat the fruit, I won't even touch it. See, God, I've just improved on your plan. I've just added to it. But what she was really doing was being prideful, because she was trying to control it. She said, I can't control the original rule that God gave me, but I can control what I do in addition to that rule, and I will make it better, and I will be more like God by adding to what God did. But you have to understand that, if technically speaking, theoretically speaking, the thing you do on top of what God commanded you to do, if the thing that you add to God's word and to God's laws, if that makes God's laws better, then wouldn't that mean you're better than God, because you just improved upon what he told you to do? I mean, you can't improve on something unless you're superior to it. So when you are religious and when you try to improve on what God did and what God asked you to do, when you add to God's word, then you are being prideful, because you're saying, God, yeah, what you're asking me to do is fine, but I think if I do a little bit more, it'll be even better. You're trying to improve on God. So you are tacitly saying that you are superior to God, which makes you the God of your own life, not the God of the Bible. And it's really insidious, because it seems on the surface like you're just, like it shouldn't be harmful. You're just trying to make things better, but you can't improve on God. If God is perfect, if God is always and completely right and just, then you can't improve on him. And if you are trying to improve on him and you're in a fallible state, which we all are, then anything you do in addition to God's commandments will actually make God's commandment worse or more difficult. But we just don't see it that way. So that's how we get religious. We don't see Christ's death on the cross as enough. We say, God, I see what Christ did, and it's awesome, and I appreciate him dying on the cross for me and coming back and being rose from the dead on the third day. But in addition to that, I'm going to do some other stuff that you didn't command me to do. I'm going to pray to Mary. I'm going to light a few candles and rub some beads when I pray. Or I'm going to give indulgences. Or I'm going to, and I know those are all things that are kind of Catholic. And sorry about that. I hate to pick on the Catholics, but frankly, the Catholic doctrine is the epitome of religion. It is, and I'm not going to talk a whole lot about Catholicism in this podcast. I talk about it a lot on the blog, and I'll do so in some future podcasts. But it is the epitome of religion, because it is a bunch of man-made stuff that's been superimposed on top of Christianity. Almost every doctrine of Catholicism is religious. All the things that they tell you to do, confessing to a priest. You aren't supposed to confess to a priest. You're only supposed to confess your sins to God. Yet they say, well, if I confess my sins to God through this priest, that improves on it. No, it doesn't. That's religious. Well, you're only supposed to pray to God through Jesus. Well, if I pray to God through Jesus and through Mary, hey, isn't that better? No, it's not, because God never commanded you to pray through Mary. Mary is a mortal. I'm sure Mary's in heaven horrified that people are trying to pray, get to God through her. Jesus was her savior. Mary is not divine. Sorry, Catholics, she's not. There is nothing biblical about that. But the problem with Catholicism, and I think I just nailed it a second ago, is they don't rely on the Bible as their sole source of theology. They believe in the Bible plus their so-called sacred traditions that, let's be honest, they're just basically made up by people who put themselves in robes and anoint themselves the vicars of Christ. They just say that, you know, whenever they get in some kind of trance or whatever, and then they get this special word from God that's equivalent to the Bible, and whatever these sayings are, these ex cathedra sayings or commandments, are put on the same level as the Bible, or actually above the Bible, because where they contradict the Bible, Catholics are taught that if what they believe in Catholicism is, conflicts or contradicts with the Bible, then the deference goes to the sacred tradition that, again, these mortal, fallible men who call themselves popes and cardinals make up is superior to the Word of God. And that, if that's not sacrilege, I don't know what is. So am I saying Catholics aren't saved? No, I'm not saying that at all. I can't. That's judging. That's the kind of judging we are not to do, according to Matthew 7:1. I don't know who's going to heaven and who's not. None of my business. And frankly, I don't really care. I can only control whether or not I go to heaven. But what I can say, that if you are relying on something in addition to God's provision for your sins, then you're not going to heaven. Sorry. But I'm not going to let so-called Protestants off the hook, or I prefer to call them non-Catholic Christians, or, you know, Christians who are not a part of the Catholic Church. You know, we also have our traditions and things that we try to do to get closer to God that have, again, nothing to do with God. The way we do a church service, by even going to a church building, there's nothing in the Bible about going to a specific building with stained glass and an altar and a pulpit. There's nothing about that. The first Christians met in homes. So going to a church does not make you any better than anyone else. That's religion. Again, nothing wrong with going to a church, but if you think that that going to a church gives you more brownie points with God than someone who has a fellowship in their home, you're wrong. You're being religious. You know, and dressing up nicely for church. Again, nothing wrong with dressing nicely, but if you think that you dressing in a suit and a tie or a pretty dress makes you more holy than someone who maybe comes to church in jeans and a t-shirt, you're being religious. If you think that the amount of money you give to the church makes you closer to God, or God appreciates you more than someone who gives less, then you're being religious, because God never said that he was going to give you extra points based on the amount of money you give. Because let's say you have a lot of money and you give $1,000 to the church, and someone else who's poor and only gives $2. Well, God doesn't have any more special place in his heart for you because of the volume you gave over the person who gave, you know, from their hearts. And thinking that giving a lot of money to the church gets you closer to God, again, is religious, because God doesn't need your money. What does God say? Oh, yeah, I really need some more money so I can go to the store and buy some eggs? No, God doesn't need your money. It's about what's in your heart that matters. And as a Christian, what's supposed to be in your heart is being closer to God, being more like God, not doing things of your own power, out of your own wallet, based on how you look, how you dress, the things you do, the activities you perform, how loudly you sing, how well you sway back and forth to the music, how many religious programs you listen to. And again, there's nothing wrong, again, with dressing nice, with listening to Christian radio, to going to the church. Nothing is wrong with those things in and of themselves, like I just said. It's about your heart. What is in your heart when you do those things? If you're doing those things because you just love God and you want to get closer to God, that's great. But if you are doing those things thinking that those things alone will put you in a better position to him, with him, then you are being religious. Because you are in pride by, again, thinking that your actions, any of your actions, will get you closer to God than what God commands you to do. Let me be clear. Any actions you take that are above and beyond what God commands you to do, that is religion. And God says specifically that your man's righteousness, in other words, righteousness that comes solely from man, not from God, your efforts to be holy outside of what God commands is like filthy rags. And I'll put the verse, the actual verse there, that talks about that. But it's a pretty famous verse, that your man's righteousness is like filthy rags. And that's from the King James Version. And the King James Version is a little polite. What that actually means, that word filthy rags, means used menstrual cloths. That's the actual terminology. I mean, that's what the words actually mean by filthy rags, used menstrual cloths. And I'll let you take that visualization and put it in your own head, and you can see what God really thinks of your religion. That's the category that God places your religious works in, your attempts to be righteous without him, because we can't be righteous without God. And when you think you can be righteous without God, you are in pride. And we talked about this a few podcasts ago. The more you are in pride, the further you're getting away from God. And that's what makes religion so insidious, because all the time we're thinking we're getting closer to God, we're actually getting further away. We've deluded ourselves. We are completely blind and delusional, thinking that we're drifting closer to God, when in reality, we're getting further and further away from him. And that's the way that works. And the reason why that is such an affront to God and so harmful to us is because we may spend our entire lives as religious people. If you're religious, drifting further and further and further away from God while thinking you're getting closer and closer to him. So when your life is over and you stand before God and God says, "Depart from me, I never knew you," you will be like the people in Matthew chapter 7, towards the end of the chapter, when they said, "You know, God, didn't we do all these things in your name? Didn't we do all these great works in your name?" And God says, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Why? Because you were so religious, you were so in pride that you were blinded to how far you were going away from God. And that is why religion is so deadly, because it takes you away from God while thinking you're getting closer to him. Okay, so I think with that, I'm going to wrap up this podcast. I think I covered everything that I wanted to about the mindset and the philosophy and the thought process behind religion. If you have any questions, please let me know in the comments here or on Facebook, or if you're mad about what I said, if you're completely in disagreement, if you are a Catholic and you are mad at me because I just ripped into Catholicism, sorry. It is what it is. I don't really pull punches on the podcast. But if you're angry about it and you want to talk it over with me or call me names, that's fine. Do so in the comments. In the next podcast, we're going to continue talking about religion, but we're going to, as I mentioned earlier in the podcast, I'm going to talk about the different kinds of religion that are some of which have nothing to do with a god or gods or anything divine, because again, religion is not from God. Religion is all about man, which means that all of us are guilty of doing it to some degree. And we're also going to talk about why religion, in addition to getting you further from God in the afterlife, in this life, religion also leads to brain damage. And I'm not just speaking philosophically or facetiously. I mean, it will literally cause physical damage to your brain, neurological damage. I will explain why and how in the next podcast. So thanks for listening to the podcast. Please follow me on social media. Please, please, please subscribe to the blog and to the podcast. You can see the little area on your right in the right nav bar. You can put your email in and you'll be notified whenever a new podcast or blog comes out. You can also listen to the podcast or subscribe to the podcast via iTunes or Google Play and Stitcher and TuneIn Radio and a bunch of other ways. You can see that right below the player. And until then, I will talk to you next week when we talk about how religion damages your brain.